We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, when we started Proof to Product in May 2017, I had no idea what an amazing journey we were embarking on. Over the last year and a half, we've told almost 100 startup stories. These are stories from entrepreneurs just like you who are making physical products. We have talked about successes and struggles, mindset shifts, and the importance of taking action to reach your goals. Now, we're quickly approaching our 100th episode of Proof to Product, and we want to do something special to celebrate all of you, our listeners. We want to hear your story and share it with our audience. So to participate, head over to bit.ly/PTP100 and leave us a voicemail message telling us how Proof to Product has helped you in your business. Be sure to leave your name and your company name so that we can link you in our show notes too. And that's all lowercase, bit.ly/PTP100. Thank you so much for listening and sharing Proof to Product with your friends. I look forward to hearing and sharing your story. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. Today I sat down with Trade Show Bootcamp alumni, Mary Fan. Mary is the owner of the Sketchbook Series, where she teaches designers and event planners how to draw and sketch. And she recently released her first book, The Artful Sketch, which is a how-to book on sketching. During this episode, Mary talks about her 10-year journey through entrepreneurship, including fears, pivots, and transitions she's made. I hope you enjoy it. Hey, Mary, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Katie.
So you have a fascinating story. You have had a service-based business. You've done online education, in-person education. Now you've written a book. I can't wait for you to tell us about it. But take us back to the early days. Did you always know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny because I think you always kind of have this entrepreneurial spirit. And I think I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, whether I was, you know, selling candy bars door to door, or whether I was, you know, like I was always the one to be the leader to say, hey, let's do this. Let's put on a car wash. Let's do this. I was always very active in my school and, you know, leadership and things like that. So I think early on, I knew that that was part of my, I don't know if you want to say DNA, but I definitely knew that that was going to be something in the future.
Yeah. I was just talking with some girlfriends last week. I'm like, I was wired to do this kind of stuff. Like I was selling friendship bracelets back in the day. We sold like fruit for our dance troupe and cookies for the Girl Scouts and all these things, you know, and that's not to say I was a born salesperson, but I just love the idea of serving people and creating products and services that I know are going to help others. I mean, I don't know, friendship bracelets really helped me back in the day. So, but so what was your first legit business though? And how did this evolve into so much more? I'd love to hear kind of the evolution of it.
Yeah, I think my very, very first like real business was back in 2008. And it kind of came about not because I said, yes, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, but more so like, okay, I guess this is going to be it. It kind of pushed me off the edge. But a little further before I started my business was I was working at, you know, a job, a 9-to-5 job. And I was doing anything from design. I had graduated college with a comprehensive design degree. I took mostly interior design, and then I got a little bored being a creative person. And so I said, oh, I love fashion too. And I love graphics. So let's take all these classes. And I think I was like 2 classes short of like finishing with the interior design program. And I realized that I liked so many different things being a creative person. And so I took all these different classes, and it just so happened that they had a comprehensive design degree, which, I mean, in layman terms, I guess means anything creative.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really fun. And after I graduated, I went into interior design, and then I went into a little bit of fashion, and then a little bit of retail merchandising until the 2006 market crash. And I don't know if you lived through that kind of experience or went through that experience, but it was pretty crazy. I'm in San Francisco Bay Area. And mind you, that was kind of 3 years after I graduated. And it was kind of this like, it was pretty shocking because it hit not only the home real estate, but it also hit jobs. And I got laid off 2 years within that 2 year time frame. I think it was like 2006 to 2008. And I just said, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't want to keep applying for a job and then, you know, like acclimate myself and then have to start all over again. And I think I had been itching too to find something that I was really passionate about. And I think at the time I had just gotten married. I remember I was on a, this was after our honeymoon, but we were going into another cousin's wedding. And then I got the call from my job that we were I was getting laid off when I got back from Hawaii. And I'm like, okay, oh, well, wow. I guess this is, I guess this is a good place to get the call, I guess. So I just kind of sat there. And at the time my husband, you know, he was like, he knew that I was looking for something that I was, that I could wake up every morning. I think I would tell him when we were dating, I'm like, I'm not happy doing this. I feel like there's something else out there for me. And then at all around the same time, my friend, I was in her wedding and she was like, Mary, can you plan my wedding? And I thought, that's funny. Cause I just got laid off. And she's like, oh, can you be my wedding planner? And I'm like, okay, I guess so. And that, you know, and that kind of led me into the journey of starting my wedding planning business. And so, and I had always been the friend that planned everything and was always the, okay, we're doing this, this, and this, always had the game plan, always like took the lead in terms of planning anything. And so I think it was super natural for my friends and those that were kind of close to me to say, hey, would you do this for me? And then it became like, oh, I wonder if I could start my business doing this. And then I started in, I had just planned my own wedding, which was kind of crazy in itself. And I had thought to myself, I said, you know, if I could hire somebody to do this all over again, the way that I needed to be, you know, serviced, then I would have, you know. And I think at the time, it just kind of, all the timing of events, getting laid off twice and then sitting in Hawaii thinking like, oh my God, what's next? And then my friend asking me to be her planner and designer. And then I said, okay, let's just do it and let's figure it out later. Yeah. And that became the first kind of, you know, kind of go at starting my own business as a wedding planner.
I'm sure at the time it felt like a huge weight, you know, sitting there. You talk about sitting at this wedding and hearing that you're going to be laid off. I think most people's response would be panic and like, oh my gosh, what do I do? You know, it's easy to look back in retrospect and say, wow, these things really kind of fell together and the timing was serendipitous. But at the time going through it, I'm sure you felt fear and stress and nerves around all of it.
Oh my gosh, all of that. And I think that part never changes. I think any new thing that I do is always surrounded with like, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? It's the fear of the unknown. And right, I think, you know, like coming back to not having a job to like, oh my gosh, I'm going to start this new thing. But is this, I mean, you know, like, am I equipped to do this? Am I ready to do this? Do I have the support, you know? And I think all of the things pointed to yes. And I think that was really the time that I said, okay, there's no turning back. I just have to do it and then we'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah. I love that though, because that's the true spirit of entrepreneurship. Like, we don't know everything. None of us know everything. And we have to just put ourselves out there a little bit and take that risk and think, okay, I will find the solutions as the problems arise. You know, I'll make that work. So how long were you doing events? And then what came next?
Yeah. So I started my business in October of officially 2008, October of 2008, under Very Merry Events. And it was spelled like Merry Christmas. So different than it is now. And I had been doing it. I started, and you know, I think it's something important to note that I didn't just jump in head on. I had like a full-time job along with that. Like, I just jumped into the idea that I was going to start my business. But I think, you know, all along around the same time, we wanted to start a family and all of that, right? So I was like, okay, well, I've got to get something, like whether it makes sense or not at the time, whether it aligned with design or not, I just need something to be, you know, just to have, and then let's start this business, take classes and get all the things up and running. And so I felt really fortunate. I think that I had found something that it wasn't even design. It was something totally different, but it was something that was for the time being, I needed security. I needed insurance. All the practical things that you need. You know, as you're starting to develop the business, like my business, I was coming up with the name and kind of figuring out how to do it and like how to do it in a way that I felt confident doing it. And so I took classes, so I got certified and, you know, and all of it was fun, but it was the juggle between having a full-time job, but also starting this thing on the side too. But also knowing that, okay, this job was just going to hold me over until I could transition over to starting my business full-time. That didn't last very long, let's just say.
The overlap didn't last very long for you?
No, it didn't last very long.
That's good. I had the overlap as well of a day job and my business for longer than I would have liked, actually. It was really hard at the time, but looking back, I am so glad that I did it. To your point, it gave me that financial stability, the benefits, all the things I needed to kind of keep life running while I then reinvested money from the business into the business. And I mean, that oversimplifies things, but I will say there are benefits to keeping a day job while you're also starting your business before you're scaling and everything like that. Okay, so you're doing event planning, but you've also done online education and, you know, your custom illustrations. When did that kind of start to come into the fold?
Yeah. And it's funny because I had always had the design degree. And so for me, I thought that starting my own business as a wedding planner slash designer, that was something that was common because I had come from a university and we had to sketch all our designs, whether it was fashion, whether it was interiors. I mean, when you talk about design, I think the natural process is to sketch it out onto paper. And so when I started my own business and realized that that was something that I did a little bit differently than a lot of people did starting their own wedding planning business. I didn't know that I was different. I guess I just did it because it was my own process and that I needed to just get those ideas out onto paper. And that was my form of communication. And I think it was kind of already built into my current business. And so when we started showcasing the illustration and getting featured and, you know, submitting the sketches along with the designs, it just, you know, it became very apparent that that was something unique that I did in my own business and something that was such a beneficial part for my clients because then they could see what their wedding could look like. And so I think I became known for like, hey, she does illustration. And then slowly as we, you know, began to grow our business and we were getting featured and kind of recognized in the Bay Area. I think, you know, I guess I didn't look at business as like competition or, you know, people as competition. I always, you know, it was very, you know, much about supporting and about the community and like, hey, how can I help? And, you know, and I became really good friends with all the planners in the area. And then it just one thing after another, people were like, hey, is that something you teach? Can you teach us how to do it? And then I, you know, and this had become, maybe I'd been doing it for about 5 years or so until I started to realize that I was getting a little burnt out with weddings and being gone every weekend.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm trying to think back in terms of like, you know, how you think about your kids. I don't know, you know, for me anyway, like I think about their births as like a milestone in my life. And that's kind of how I remember things. And so I was pregnant with my second son at the time. And it kind of came about where I felt like I needed a new change in my life. It was a season in my life that I wanted to be home more with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know what the next thing was. And it was really scary, actually. Really, really scary because I didn't know what the next thing was.
Yeah. So talk to us about the sketchbook series, because that's the educational program where you are teaching others how to do these sketches for interior designs or events and all these, you know, personal projects for fun. But talk about what the sketchbook series is and a little more about that transition into it.
Yeah. So I would like to think that you go along this journey, right? I mean, entrepreneurship is a huge marathon and it's this huge journey. And I do think that as soon as I figured out what my quote unquote thing was, that was when things started to change for me. I think I had always loved planning events and designing events. And I'd always felt like, oh, this is it. You know, like I poured everything into this one aspect of my business. And really, I think when I started to really hone in on my voice was when the sketchbook series started. And I'll say that because I think this was 2013. I was pregnant with my son. I was figuring out like what the next thing was going to be for me. And I literally felt like I was having a breakdown because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. I have no idea what I'm going to do next. I don't know if this is going to be it. What is it? And I really, really dug deep and started asking the hard questions. You know, like if there's any of your, you know, audience members that are in this point of transition, it's sometimes really, really hard to get yourself out of it, you know, mentally. And like, you're just going through the motions and you don't know what the next thing is. And you're kind of gripping straws, you know, you're like, I don't know what's the next thing. And I remember just going through this emotional, like, gosh, I just, you know, like talking to friends and feeling super depressed and just not knowing. And then, you know, I think it was a process. It wasn't like, boom, light bulb, and then idea is born. You know, right, it wasn't like that. It was a process of talking to a lot of people. It was going to therapy. It was getting a health coach. It was all of it, you know, and it was that moment of like, what am I good at? What do I love? What do I love of this business? I didn't, you know, it wasn't like I resented my business. It was, I love it. I just need to figure out how it's going to work with my lifestyle, you know?
Yeah. It's about the boundaries, right? Like reestablishing mm-hmm. what these boundaries look like and how do I want to be serving my audience and the people that I'm working with and how do I want to spend my time? And yeah, absolutely.
All of that. It was like asking what I think, and so baseline is what's going to make me happy. I think it started with that. It was less about how do I serve an audience. It was what's going to make me happy, because this next phase or this next season of my life is changing, and it's changing without me getting to plan for it. You know, like when I started a family, I think the change, I didn't want to admit that change was happening, but change was like coming, and it was like I couldn't even like, you know, plan for it. And when that happened, it was like, oh my gosh, let me just figure this out and let me sit down and really ask the hard questions. And then it became the what's going to make you happy. And that was it. And I said, I think it was that moment of like, what I love out of my business is sketching. And if I could do it and I do it and nobody paid me for it, I could still do it. Like I could do it if it was for free, you know? And I think that became the moment where I was like, can I start a business sketching? I don't know. And I think that was really the point when that moment of like, oh my gosh, I can sit here and sketch forever. And, yeah. You know, like, and that would be fine for me. And I think, again, just the series of events, people started asking because they had seen my sketches and my design work. And, you know, and I said, I don't know how to teach. Like, I've never taught anybody how to do sketching because this is something that is my own process. I do it, but I don't know if I can teach anyone else how to do it. And my husband so happened to be a teacher and he encouraged me. He said, you know, like, just do it and I will help you through that, you know. And, you know, I think he had attended or heard me do it or I practiced with him and he gave me pointers. And then one thing led to another. And he's like, I think you're ready. And I don't even think he said you're ready. I just said, well, I've launched the name and people are coming, so I have to be ready. You know, like there wasn't like time to like act. I like to wonder if I was ready or not. It was right. Happening and we had to do it.
But you have the support system with him, which made it easier for you to take that leap, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, I did. And I mean, just the technology, because he had access to kind of, you know, like teacher technology, quote unquote. But I remember the first a piece of technology he brought, it was like this super old school projector that weighed a ton. And I like literally carried it to the first class and I was like, I don't know what this is.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, whatever, it's going to work and we'll make do with it. And just looking back now, like the thing that I use now fits in my back pocket. So like from then to now, it's kind of funny because it was this huge, huge thing that I lugged in my car, and we went to the first class, and then we had people flying over, you know, from out of state to come. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's a thing. Oh my gosh, what is this? Okay, well, just stick to what you know. And that's always been kind of my thing, is stick to what you know. And then it became super fun and natural for me to teach my first class. And I thought, wow, this is super fun. I'm going to do more.
I think you raise a really great point about catering to our strengths and the things that we're passionate about and the things that we love within our business. I think it's so easy to get deterred by requests from people or, you know, things we want to be doing. I'm actually in this state right now of like streamlining and simplifying things. And I feel like, using myself as an example, there was a time where it was like, you know, our alumni community is asking for help with hiring and delegating and marketing and this and that. And I'm like, well, I know stuff about that. I can teach them that. And I know stuff about, you know, and it mm-hmm. soon becomes this bigger, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? There's all these things I have my hands in. And but that's not my zone of genius, or that's not where my passion truly is. And so it's great to hear you talk about, you know, sticking to what you know and always going back to, okay, my sketching is where my heart is, and this is what I want to build off of, and anything I'm doing. Like that really seems like your center for all these other products mm-hmm. that you've created.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are ideas spewing left and right at
all
hours.
Oh, I know. I've talked to you about it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that when I fully committed to the thing that was special to me or that was unique to me, that was when I really saw my business change and take off, because I had been doing wedding planning and design for 5 years and I felt like I was good at it. I felt like I was servicing my clients. I felt like I had a unique kind of like niche in it. I was good at it. But I think when I discovered the sketching, that was something that I was different at, like truly different. And I think when we launched the sketchbook series, that was when immediately people took notice. And it was mm-hmm. something that I became, instead of servicing brides and grooms and couples, I pivoted into being kind of a leader and being an established, you know, somebody that catered the business to business versus business to client or consumer.
Which is totally different.
Totally different, different mindset, different leadership skills. I think it also, you're put in a different category altogether. And so that was super scary for me, you know, because I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to like, you know, be different. I wanted to be the same. I wanted to be like, hey, you know, here's good old Mary. And this is our pal, you know? And then it became like, oh my gosh, now I'm standing in front of all these people and they're wanting me to tell them what to do. And I'm like, ah! So that was really scary at first.
Yeah.
But it was something that I've, you know, really embraced over the last few years. And I think it's given me a unique position. And, you know, like, you know, the sketchbook series happened, I started traveling. I'm just going over that a little bit, is that, yeah, the sketchbook series workshop took over.
Yeah.
Kind of like, wow, I'm so happy. Like, this was like, oh my gosh, I jumped the whatever. I mean, if you want to, you know, kind of think about it as a metaphor, like you literally have to take the leap. And I know I took the leap in starting the business, but this was a huge leap, I felt, because I really didn't know, nothing like this existed. I didn't have anybody I could ask, like, hey, how are you doing this? Right. It literally was like, I'm going to jump and like, I'm going to like, I don't know if you ever watched the Lego movie, but when, you know, like they're kind of trying to imagine all these like things and then things start popping up. I literally felt like that. Like as I was leaping, I had to figure it out as I went along.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the hard part of it, is like there is nobody to measure the success after. You're creating it as you go along.
Right. There's no one that's setting the industry standards, that's setting the format, you know, you're getting, which is exciting and also terrifying at the same time, because you have the you have the autonomy to create this in whatever way feels good to you. But at the same time, you know, it's always nice to see people that come before you and how they've built something so that you can kind of, you know, mirror it or pull from to tailor, pull from what they've done that would work for you and create, you know, your own thing from that. So you Absolutely. Just for our listeners, the Sketchbook series is both an in-person program that you offer as well as an online program. And you mm-hmm. have also stretched your wings in that you recently released your first book called The Artful Sketch. So first I want to say congratulations. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
I have it in front of me and it is just it's stunning and it's amazing, like everything you've laid out. So let's tell our listeners, who is this book for and what do you talk about in this book?
Yes. So The Artful Sketch is, it is a very broad audience. So if you are, if you think you're creative, or even if you don't think you're creative, this book is for you. It's not centered around, you know, like creative professionals or wedding planners or, you know, any specific industry. It is for anybody that wants to learn how to sketch. I do think the book in itself, the writing is more for an adult, but I have had my son who's 8, who's taken the courses too, and he's so good at it. So, you know, I could see that happening too. So if oh, yeah. you know, you're sitting down with your kid or your niece or nephew, I mean, this would be a great, you know, kind of like activity to do together.
It's funny you brought that up. My daughter actually saw this sitting on my desk and she started using it and she started kind of following through
fun.
With it. Yeah. And I meant to tell you
How
that before
awesome.
We started recording, but she loved it. So yeah, I agree. It's for anyone that wants to be creative and add, you know, more. It's a beautiful book too. So I'd love to know though, what led you to want to write a book? Like this is another major pivot to you. I mean, going from events to teaching to now a book. What was
yeah.
that process like?
So, well, in all honesty, I think I've always wanted to write a book. And even when I was in my wedding planning business, I had always wanted to have a book. And I think that it was just something in me that said, that would be so cool. And I would be so legit if I had a book. but more so of that, just the idea of having a book on a shelf that had my name on it was so cool. And yeah. I think I had kind of explored writing like a wedding planning type of book early on. And I had gone to a weekend workshop, how to write a book in like a weekend. And that was cool because that was like my first tap into like, I guess, manifestation of like this idea, right? Because she made you go into the course and then you had to put and post on like Facebook your bio.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I'm writing this book or not. But, you know, it was like this, like, hey, you got to put it out there and that's going to hold you accountable. And I put it out there and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm doing this. And I got scared. And I think, you know, the process happened, but I'm glad I went through the workshop and I learned a lot. And, you know, I kind of filed it in my mental cabinet, like, okay, I'm going to write a book. I just don't know what it is yet. And then, you know, years forward, and we launched the Sketchbook series. And I think maybe a year or a year and a half after that, we got approached by a publisher. And at the time, I was not ready. I think we had got on this phone call and I was super excited, even though in the back of my mind, I was like, yes, I want to write the book. I want to write a book. At the time, I wasn't ready to write a how-to book. And that's what they had wanted. And I said, oh, that's not what I want to write right now. I'm more like I'm wanting to write something else. And I don't think it panned out quite, you know, the way that either of us intended. And so that kind of set again. And then I was teaching and things were moving along. And then I think I want to say 17 months ago, whatever month that is. So 2017, I don't know. You guys can do the math if you're listening. But I had gotten another email. Our publishers now had been following me on Instagram and they wanted to write a how-to book. And I felt ready. I felt like I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to say yes. Let's do it. And it became just the opportunity came again that I was ready. They were ready. And I said, let's do it. Let's go for it. And mm-hmm. that began the process of writing the book. And, you know, they were really great about like taking my ideas and also with their ideas to create this book. And so I felt like this was a great partnership in that, you know, they weren't saying, hey, you have to write this and here you are here, try to do what we want you to do. It was a very, you know, it was a very great collaboration in that, okay, this is my idea. What do you think? Is this, you know, the way you want it? And it was a back and forth. It was a very, you know, natural process of how we came up with topics. And for the most part, they really let me kind of lead the direction of it. I think they gave me like kind of the parameters in terms of the audience and who they wanted to target and that sort of thing. And then it became, you know, up to me to write an outline and then submit that to them.
So you said it started about 17 months ago. How much of that was like the wooing process of that, of you guys like determining if you wanted to work together? And then how much of that was you actually writing and then like editing phase, I assume? Like, what are these kind of phases of writing a book?
Yeah. And, you know, Katie, I'll say the wooing didn't take much. I was pretty like,
they had you
okay.
From hello.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it was a matter of, you know, kind of thinking, well, at first they had asked me if I had an agent and I had no idea what that was, how to find one, mm-hmm. any of those things.
Did you end up finding one or did you go on your own?
I did. And it just was this moment of like, oh, they're asking if I have an agent. Uh-oh, this is real. They're for real. They're not just like, you know, like just you know, making me fluffing my feathers here. They're not making me all like, you know,
yeah.
They are for real. They're asking if I have an agent. Oh, crap. Okay, so what do I do? And so I think I just started asking around and, you know, I knew a few people that had been writing books and then, you know, I just got a referral from somebody else and, you know, I brought on my agent and then it was at that time that I talked a lot with the agent about how does this work? How does this go? And my agent isn't versed with like creative books or, you know, she was very much into like romance novels and kind of a different industry altogether.
Yeah, definitely.
But she was representing another artist. And so I thought, okay, well, okay, you have experience. You know more than I do about this thing. So, you know, I think this, you're great. Let's do it. And so
I need help. You're hired.
totally. I need help. Let's go. And then we went into the first, you know, kind of conversation. And I think I was just kind of sitting watching it all unfold because I didn't really know what I should be asking or not asking. I leaned a lot on my agent to kind of lead conversations and, you know, knowing what to put into contracts and what to negotiate and not to negotiate, those kinds of things. So yeah, I thought that process was interesting in itself. So once we got all the paperwork, you know, all together signed, I think it became, okay, we're doing this. Now it's time to do a outline and submit a sample, like a sample chapter.
Yeah.
And I think it was done differently than it normally is done. I mean, I guess there's not really a normal, but I guess in general, if you want to write a book, you can go to a publisher that you have been following or like, and you could submit, but that is kind of like it's almost like you're casting a net a little bit. You're kind of hoping that they'll take the submission. But that's kind of the normal way. You write a book, you go through all the, what you call a manuscript, right? It's kind of all the copy and the images that go into a book. And so if you are to go the traditional route of submission, then you basically write the whole book and then you turn it in and hope that that's the book that they'll, you know, take.
Right.
But in this case, the publishers approached me. And so we came up with the contents together. And so now they needed a sample. And so, oh my gosh.
Which seems like the more logical. I mean, we've had a publisher on the show before, but the way your experience went, to me, that seems to make the most sense for everybody. You know, why not develop it in a collaborative sense rather than you writing a whole book and hoping that somebody will take it as is or, you know, ask for certain specific edits. I feel like the way you approached it, I mean, obviously they approached you, but then once you started things rolling, it makes a lot more sense for both you guys to be in on the creation of it together. It just seems more efficient.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I have a friend that did it the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it worked out great for her too. So
okay,
I guess there's no really right way, but I guess in this case, it made it easier because there was already a yes. I just needed to submit the work and,
right.
You know, although like when I submitted the chapter, the first, you know, sample chapter, oh my gosh, if I look back now, it was the ugliest draft ever.
Hey, I think that about some of my greeting cards. When I look back, I'm like, really? What was I thinking? I don't. But you know, that's the part about business that's fun. It's the evolution, even bit by bit, day by day, that we're changing and improving. So.
Yeah.
And now you have this beautiful book. Book out in the world that, you know, tons of people are learning from and enjoying. You got to be so proud. I mean, it really is a beautiful and thoughtfully curated book.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's yes, it is like birthing a baby, I think.
I bet. So, you know, you've accomplished so much in your life and in your business. How has your definition of success for you changed over the years? You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier when you were talking about, you know, doing what makes you happy and sticking to what you know. But I guess, how do you define success now in your life?
So I think the big kind of, like, you know, like I said earlier, going after your happiness, sticking with what you know, I think those are fundamental things that I always try to keep as my, you know, like my ground, right? Like, okay, mm-hmm. like when I start getting stressed out or when things aren't working the way that I've planned them, if, you know, and sometimes you're going to hit a lull, or there's going to be times where what worked a month ago isn't working now. And so then you're like constantly like, well, I thought I knew, and now I don't know. And I think that's the one constant, is that know that change and I don't want to say, I don't know. I think sometimes failure is the biggest positive that you can have. And I don't want to say failure, because that sounds so negative, right? But I want to say that there's going to be times that things don't work out the way you want them to. And you just have to know that that's going to happen in business. You know, like, it's not always going to be peachy every time. It's not always going to be a home run every time. And I think for a while, like, I was transitioning actually not that long ago, right? Kind of before the book kind of came out, is, you know, I talked a little bit about me traveling for workshops.
Yeah.
A lot. And I would travel. I mean, we would go to Mexico, and we've gone to Virginia, and we've gone to the East Coast, but I haven't gone out of the country yet. I mean, Mexico is out of the country, but, you know, overseas.
Right.
And I think along the way, there's a life outside of your business too, like my home life, my family life. And as much as they have been incredible, you know, my boys are amazing. My husband is awesome. And, you know, our family that helps support. And when I'm not here, who's watching the kids and who's picking up and, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, I think that became a real thing, because when I was, and more recently, my son got into this, like, he went to a field trip, hit his head, and he fell. And it was just this big thing.
How
scary. But he's also had a lot of health. It's totally, totally scary. And I think, you know, he hasn't been, he's been my child that has gone through a lot of health issues, you know, mm-hmm. and those are the things I can't prepare and I can't plan for. And I think as you're growing your business, there's also real life that's happening, and you're having to juggle that too. And I think it made, you know, kind of a lot of sense for me to transition a little bit too, to pull back on the workshops, not travel as much. And that was, I think in my mind, I had always known that I was going to travel forever, that I would do it if I could bring my family along with me. You know, so these are the conversations I'm having. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. I get to do what I love and, you know, all of that. But there's also the real factor of, I'm also a mom. I'm also a full-time mom. And so how do we do this? And so I think for me, it's been the transition of figuring out how am I there and not missing out on their lives and their school and their, you know, like the things that I need to be here for, but also while, you know, growing my brand and doing what I love and, you know, and being the financial, you know, it's very expensive in the Bay Area. Anybody that's in the Bay Area knows.
Yeah.
And I'm sure across the country, but especially here, it's very expensive here. And so just having a double income, it's really hard to have a single earner income.
It sounds like your definition of success has changed in that you still need to be supporting your family, and this needs to be, you know, a worthwhile, your time needs to be worthwhile because you are supporting your family.
Yes.
But you're also honing in on the things that make you happy, the things that make you money, the things that support you and your life goals and your life plans more so now than maybe earlier on. Would you say that's a shift?
Absolutely. A major shift. And I think when I started and kind of when the sketchbook series started, it was this, not like bright eyed, but it was this like, yay, I found this thing that I really love. And then you're just kind of testing out a lot of different things. And now that I'm pretty seasoned in it, I'm 5 years in, now I'm actually kind of taking things off my plate, you know, yep. and like really focusing in on the thing that makes sense. And how can I not experiment so much, because I think I've done some of the experimenting and like now I kind of have a focus. So you kind of like almost recalibrate your focus so that you're like hyper-focused now. At least I'm trying to, yeah. instead of trying all these things and not knowing where you're headed or where, how it's going to do. I think now I've had enough, you know, experience in that, okay, this worked, this didn't work. Let's try this. I mean, it's risky still, but not as much risk as totally. I did before.
What you just said reminds me of two things. One, the benefit of being a business owner and the agility that it provides us, that we can try things. And if it's not working, we can decide quickly to move away from it. You know, we're not caught up in red mm-hmm. tape when it's just us making the decisions and paying the bills and doing all that stuff. We do have that luxury of moving quickly and changing and pivoting quickly. But secondly, something you said reminded me, I was just at a mastermind retreat with some peers and we kept talking about the accordion effect. And I don't know if this is a real deal. We just kind of made it up ourselves. But like the idea that like our business is like an accordion. There's times where like we're experimenting and trying things and things feel really big. And then there's the accordion coming back together and where things need to be streamlined and scaled down a little bit. And there's the moderate, you know, like there's so many different phases in business. And it sounds like you've had your share of like the experimenting, but also the narrowing and widening and narrowing and widening over again, which I can relate to too. I feel like that's part of this game that we're playing, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This is a game that supports our families, but you know, there we go. What is something you wish you had known when you were first embarking on your entrepreneurial journey?
Gosh. I think after 10 years being in business, I feel like I'm finally getting honed in on my numbers, which sounds crazy because you think you've been doing this for a long time and you think like, oh yeah, you know, like you're doing the right thing. And all of a sudden you get hit with a tax bill. You're like, holy cow, what happened?
Right.
And I think that was a wake up call for me to really get in on my numbers and like finally hire a professional CPA. We were not that I was doing everything myself, but we were just hiring a filing person, not really somebody to educate me or empower me to know what to do. And mm-hmm. I feel like also, like, as I feel like I'm adulting now, finally.
Yes. I was just having this conversation with some coaching clients of like, okay, your business is not a baby anymore. You need to be adulting in this business. You need to be bringing on strategic help where you can. And one of those places, this particular client, she was looking for a new bookkeeper, not just somebody to file the taxes, but she wanted the P&Ls monthly, which you need to have, you know, like as your business grows, you need to know where the money's going and where it's coming in from. So I totally can understand the business adulting. Yes.
Yeah. So, on top of financials, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And I'll say that it's only because we've been forced to look at our numbers, you know, because on a personal level, you know, like we bought a house like 2 years ago and that immediately puts you in this like, okay, now you really have to budget and like be on top of things. And, you know, and all those things on a personal level, I think can apply to business as well. And so where you focus your energy, that's where things come, you know, that's where you can really make a dent and a difference. And sometimes on my Instagram, I'll say some random things and I'm on the outside. I'm like, I hope people don't think I'm totally random, but it all applies to me. Like if I'm honing in on my personal finances, like, you know, in the last 2 months, my husband and I, we got really focused on our numbers and like trying to save money because we have so much debt over us. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we've got to get over this. We got to get out of this debt. How are we going to do it? But because I was traveling so much and, you know, he's got a 9-to-5, like both of us are like just trying to survive. Like between picking up the kids and making food at night, there's no time to focus on all those things. And so when I pulled back from traveling as much, I got to really hone in on our numbers, which then allowed me to apply that to business and go, oh my gosh, okay, we've got to get over this. Like get into the numbers, know where our money's coming in and out, and really kind of figure those things out. It's not easy.
No, it's not easy. And you're not alone. Most people do wait a while to get into the numbers as deep as you're talking. But the thing is, when you know your numbers, you make stronger decisions. You make better decisions. It's like night and day. I mean, you're not running your business blindly. So thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable. You know, where can people find you online? Where can they find your book and your courses?
Yeah. So online, you can find me at Very Mary Inspired. So that's VeryMary Inspired. And you can also follow the sketchbook series. So if you're interested in taking the workshops and learning about sketching, and we're expanding to digital kind of courses on that through the sketchbook series. So don't forget to add THE in front of it. And the book, if you're just interested in the book, we have a handle for just the book, and that's called The Artful Sketch. Awesome. And I do want to share one thing, Katie, that I'm kind of working on. I don't know when it's going to come out or what's going to happen or how it's going to all happen, but I have been, I guess for the last year, figuring out how I can create a community, kind of this community that I don't know that exists yet, because I've been looking, and I've been trying to work on that on the back end a little bit, what this community is going to look like and what I feel is going to serve not only myself, but also the people that it's intended for. So I don't know when that's coming. I am working on the back end of it.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure if they start joining your mailing list or following you on Instagram, they'll be the first to hear about that. That sounds exciting.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you, Katie, so much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing your story with us. Lessons you've learned as you've grown your business. This was just really fun. So thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Katie.
All right, friends. I hear you loud and clear. You want to meet in person. You want to spend 2 days diving deep into your business with other entrepreneurs that understand the struggles you're going through. You want to learn all the things you need to know to sell wholesale, exhibit at trade shows, reach a larger range of wholesale buyers, and essentially up-level your business. We only offered our PaperCamp conference once in 2018, and many of you have been emailing me asking when the next conference will be. Well, it is here. And I personally want to invite you to join us March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles for the PaperCamp conference. We have an amazing lineup of speakers joining us, including Karina Murray and Kimberly Yerkowitz of Crone Canary, Rachel Hetzel from Pistachio Press, and Katie Wilson from The Good Twin. Get all of the details and save your seat at tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp. We look forward to working with you. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them up-level, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.